Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. We are brought to you, as usual, for 1203B. The B is always the great guest, and we have one today. Brought to you, as usual, by LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both TruBiotics and Bovine Colostrum. You can go to their website, LifesFirstNaturals.com, to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials on why they think, and I too think, that most of us over the age of 50 should be taking both of those with some regularity. In the meantime, I also have another sponsor, that is in addition to LifesFirstNaturals.com, and that is the LongevityPlaybook.com, LongevityPlaybook.com, where you can sign up for their weekly free newsletter. Our guest is Judith Orloff, who's a clinical faculty member at UCLA Medical School and a best-selling New York Times author, and has written a book called The Genius of Empathy. And I know she doesn't know why the Cleveland Clinic has routine training in empathy, other than it's obviously good for our patients as well as our employees. But I'll tell her the story. Our prior CEO, Toby Cosgrove, in about 2009, was giving a talk to the Harvard Business School students, as he did yearly, on the Cleveland Clinic system and why it was so successful, both from outcome and being able to reinvest and to innovate. And a second-year student in the MBA in the business school class stood up and said, "Dr. Cosgrove, do you teach empathy? My mom, although you have better outcome results for mitral valve repair at the Cleveland Clinic, I have referred my mom to the Mayo Clinic because they seem more empathetic." Dr. Cosgrove then Googled the word empathy and found out how important it was, as Judith Orloff has done in her books on empathy and the genius of empathy. And I think it's about 2.9 million people, medical professionals, have looked at the Cleveland Clinic tape on empathy, which is mandatory training for all of us. He actually had everyone undergo mandatory training in 2010 after he learned what it was. He Googled the word, he said, and then decided we should all learn about it. So we sat in round tables, literally in four sessions, because everyone spent 4 hours learning and practicing empathetic behaviors with different people. And you were assigned a table which had all kinds of caregivers, everyone from environmental service employees to the administrative physician leadership. So the genius of empathy is part of what we believe in, and that's the title of the book that Judith Orloff has written. She's also author of the Empath, EMPATH, Survival Guide. Judith, one of the things, and thank you for coming on, I guess I'm going to ask routine questions, and then I'm going to get to some things that I think were important, if you will, parts of the book that I was surprised at and that were new to me, even though, quote, I have gone through mandatory and routine and practiced empathetic behavior as much as possible. What is the genius of empathy?
The genius of empathy is our ability to shift from our minds into our hearts, to be able to get into somebody else's shoes and feel how they're feeling, so that we can have a greater sense of appreciation for who they are and how to relate to them. And so it's a beautiful form of connection that we can have with one another. And even if we don't like somebody, we can feel empathy for them by putting ourselves in their shoes and having empathy for all humans, having empathy for the earth, having empathy for, you know, the universe. It's a way of being. And I think it's going to change healthcare, for one thing. If you're not empathic with your body when you're going through a physical challenge, it's going to be very hard to heal because you want to have that sweetness. So all of that is the genius of empathy.
Now, one of the things that we have learned, that I've learned, is to put myself in other people's shoes. But one of the things that you go into in some detail is how to be empathetic to yourself, which I had never heard, which we don't teach here, but maybe we should be for burnout. We teach empathy towards our patients and towards other caregivers, but not empathy towards yourself. And so that was something I didn't know even existed, and is what I would call part of the genius of writing this book, is, and in reading, how do you say, part of your genius in writing this book and in sharing it with us is how to be empathetic to yourself. So talk to us a little bit about that.
It's very important with empathy to start with yourself. And most people are in the habit of beating themselves up a lot. As a psychiatrist, I've sat across from so many people over the years, and I know how commonly people beat themselves up, including myself, including my friends, including my therapist friends and physician friends. It's something that you need to be mindfully aware of so you're able to shift that pattern and begin to show empathy for yourself and what you go through in your life. And simply practicing self-empathy by saying you did such a good job today in a very difficult situation, as opposed to you're so stupid, you should have known better, you know, or something like that. Showing empathy for ourselves allows us to get those beautiful neurochemicals going in the body, the endorphins and all of the parasympathetic nervous system, and decreasing all of the sympathetic input that make us uptight and anxious and decrease our immunity. And so being empathic with ourselves, I think, is an essential part of empathy training, because when you're empathic with yourself, it's kind of like loving yourself, but it's about really having empathy for what you go through in life. Then you could bring that, you know, as a physician, I could bring that self-empathy into my practice, because I could embody it and I can help others to find it as well.
Is lack of empathy for yourself more common in physicians? Because we beat ourselves up and saying, I should have done this, or I could have said it this way. Or is that a common problem in physician, or is it just common throughout everybody? I hadn't thought of empathy as empathy for yourself as much as putting yourself in other people's shoes, but you can be nice to yourself too, I suppose.
Put yourself in your own shoes and be nice to that person there. But physicians are horribly hard on themselves. I work with doing empathy trainings as well, and I've trained physicians. And when you just say, honestly, what's going on in your head about this patient? If you just lost a patient, you know, or you're going through, you know, some kind of decision you're not sure about. Physicians are so hard on themselves because they think that it's their job to fix and save, and that all of the power is in their hands. So it's important that physicians learn how to shift that to self-empathy as they're going through each day. And everybody beats themselves up. I think it's a human trait. You know, I think it's so human. That's why we need to establish self-empathy.
I Googled, since I was on the conversation with you, empathy Cleveland Clinic video, and I was wrong. It's had 10.2 million views.
That makes my heart so happy.
And it won an Emmy.
Oh my God. Well, that's incredible. I mean, it is so incredible. And that's what I'm hoping the world can become, is that we can spread this and we could begin to change things as a result of empathy.
Yeah, it's actually the first thing we show people in the onboarding process. So it's a very interesting thing. And it is putting yourself, I've always thought of it as putting yourself in the other's shoes and not knowing it. So is that person you meet in the hospital who looks down or did they just lose their mother? Did they just have a financial problem of not being able to get a drug or afford a drug? So there's so many cases in medicine like that. The book really is a genius of empathy from a standpoint. It's a wonderful book on practical skills. So I like some of the sidebars in here as well. So there are things on the grace of self-forgiveness is one of them. Forgiveness is more about healing yourself than changing the person who harmed you. Differences between old and new paradigm leaders. It actually changed our leader, Toby Cosgrove, when he had that question on empathy. And I should make sure people know we're talking to Judith Orloff. It is her website, Dr. Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H, Orloff, O-R-L-O-F-F.com. And you can find all of her books, I think, on Amazon, at least this one as well. The Genius of Empathy. So one of the sidebars, and I know I'm putting you on the spot by asking you about an individual sidebar, is on changing patterns, choosing love. I found that really very important for myself.
Well, I think part of self-empathy and part of the growth and the genius of empathy is that you can change your patterns and you can choose love. You can have this choice of I'll go with the negative voices in my head and put myself down, or I'm going to choose love and be more loving with myself. Let's say with your partner, you're having an argument with your partner and you know you're about to say something that comes out of your mouth that you will regret. So what do you do in that situation? You pause, you take a break, and you come back to it when you're more centered. Rather, the empathy for your partner and yourself is being able to take that step. And in that taking that step, you're choosing love rather than just emoting and saying things that, you know, sometimes people can't forget what you say ever. Like if you tell a mother, you know, you're an unfit mother, she's never going to forget that. And you don't want to implant that in other people's heads. And so the empathic way to perceive in a situation where you're about to blurt something out is to pause. And that's choosing love. You know, that's choosing love over just getting back at somebody.
And I know I use this now when I'm driving and someone cuts me off or something. I say, well, maybe they have to get to the hospital. Maybe they're having a baby. Maybe, you know, and you think maybe they're in a hurry for this reason. So you can think of it in everyday life as trying to put yourself in the other person's shoes.
Yeah, but what a lot of people have been asking me as I've been traveling around on this book tour is that how can you tell people to have empathy in situation A or situation B if somebody did a horrible thing to you? Why would you have empathy for them? You know, why in the world? How could that help anybody? I think that's a really important question to ask, because what I'm saying is that you don't have empathy for, let's say, a sociopath or a narcissist that, you know, is very unkind to you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying to have empathy for the crippling of the person's heart that causes them to do that. And the reason you want to do that is because it frees you from the person. You're not constantly telling yourself stories about it. And you're able to see the person is very, has a lot of problems and has an empathy deficient disorder. You know, I have a section in the book on empathy deficient disorders, which are narcissists, sociopaths, and psychopaths. And these people are not wired, in a sense, to have empathy. And that's something to have empathy for. Not that you're going to give them any leeway, you know, an entrance into your life. It's just that you're going to be able to feel what's motivating them. And that frees you. That separates you from them.
And I think you, in the book, make the point, you don't have to deal with them in your life. You just have to have empathy as long as you don't have to deal with them. At least I take it as if one of those people is in a position where they can control you, you've got to change your situation. Because you can have empathy for their problem, if you will, but not have to deal with it for yourself.
Absolutely. Just because you have empathy doesn't mean that you're inviting your ex back into your life. That doesn't mean that. It just means that you have empathy and that you're saying goodbye and you're cutting the cord and going a different direction.
Now, we should say that the person who wrote the foreword to the book is the Dalai Lama. So how did you meet the Dalai Lama? We've got to ask that story.
I actually haven't met the Dalai Lama. I submitted my book to his office with a request for a blurb. And months and months later, when I had almost forgotten about it, I got an email from their office saying His Holiness sees promise in this book and wants to write the foreword to it. And I'm like, wow, I didn't expect that. You know, I was just trying to get a quote because he's my hero. But he ended up writing a beautiful foreword to it, which has been one of the greatest gifts of my life. And I just really look up to him so much that to have his foreword there is a huge event in my life.
Anything else you want to add? What do you think, if you were me asking you a question, what would the last question be? Since I'm not good at this from a standpoint of asking about something I totally believe in so much. So tell me what I should be asking you.
Ask me about the world and ask me about why we shouldn't give up on the world. And how empathy is an answer that could come in and help us to bond with our human family more. And it will take a lot of doing. I mean, that's what I would ask you to ask me. Where does empathy come in to making our lives better on a global scale, a personal scale, and an inner scale?
So I've asked you that question now. Go ahead and tell me the answer.
Okay, the answer is, when you're talking to somebody who, let's say you abhor their beliefs, you can't stand the person, and there they are. They're right in front of you. So what do you do with them? Do you want to argue with them? No. No, what do you want to do with them? What I do with them, you know, if I'm in that situation, is I say, you know, I heard what you said, and I'm going to take it under consideration. Thank you. I said the magic words, I heard you. And people basically want to be heard, they want to be seen, they want to be valued. You know, if you ever doubt what people want, and when you give people even that, you may get some surprising reactions on the other end. Like, oh, do you want to go get some tea? You know, after all, yeah, sure. So it brings hope of connection. That's what it does. You can give somebody even that you don't like, I heard you. As opposed to, you're just wrong. How could you believe that? You know, your beliefs are vile, and it's what you probably feel. And that's fine. And I want to say empathy isn't not being authentic with your feelings of not liking somebody or being abhorred by their belief system or, you know, all of that. It's not, you're not going into denial about that. You're just making a different kind of choice. And even though you feel all those things about somebody, I heard you. And you see what that does. And that gives us a chance. And all I can do is encourage everyone to try it, because in a way it seems counterintuitive. And I'm sure you talk about that in your beautiful program, how it just seems, why would you want to do any of that? And it's the mind that doesn't understand why. The heart understands why. We have to come more from this place in addition to our useful minds. But when it comes to empathy or not liking people, the mind doesn't have any good reason why we should have empathy for someone we don't like. But our hearts understand why it's a good thing.
I want to thank you for writing the book, The Genius of Empathy, Practical Skills to Heal Your Sensitive Self, Your Relationships, and the World. It is a book I will be giving as a gift to a number of people. So the author is, and the person we've been talking to, Judith Orloff. She's a physician, member of the clinical staff of UCLA Medical Center, as well as the writer of a number of New York Times bestsellers. Her website, drdr, Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H, Orloff, O-R-L-O-F-F.com is a way you can find out more about her practice and the books, or just go to Amazon and get it. Even more importantly, your local independent store. Thanks very much, Judith, for appearing, and I hope we help other people with empathy. And for you, I've given you a homework assignment to go and look at the Cleveland Clinic empathy video and tell us how we should improve it.
I definitely will. I look forward to it.
Thank you. But especially thank you, our listeners. 50,000 of you a week can't be wrong. Thanks for doing it. And remember our sponsors, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum, two products that have randomized controlled data showing where they can be beneficial. Go to the website lifesfirstnaturals.com and find out more. And also go to longevityplaybook.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. It comes with a cartoon that I really enjoy anyway as well. And while you're there, go to drjudithorloff.com while you're on the internet, or amazon.com, and get The Genius of Empathy. Again, thank you. We'll be back next week. We hope you are as well.